Hello, and welcome to the Roswell Presbyterian Church podcast. Today's episode is a part of our ongoing series, Closing the Distance. These are unscripted conversations with our pastors and other guests, reflecting on topics from our ongoing sermon series. If you are interested in learning more about this community of faith, visit roswellpres.org.
Welcome to Closing the Distance. My name is Jeff Myers, one of the pastors here at Roswell Presbyterian Church. And I'm here with Reverend Carrie Weatherford, our preaching pastor from this past Sunday. Carrie, fantastic sermon. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you so much. It was such a joy to be in worship with our whole church family on Sunday, especially as it was Confirmation Sunday. So it's a big, big day in the life of the church.
Yeah, just in my conversations around in Bible studies and around the church, people have really been impacted by your powerful message. Obviously, we've started a new series, This Is My Story, giving all of our pastors an opportunity to kind of tell their spiritual journey, why they're a Christian, why do they follow Christ, how they find their way to ministry, these kinds of questions. When you heard that this was going to be the theme of this series and that you were going to have to preach it, mm-hmm. Were you scared, excited? What emotions did you initially feel?
I guess this is not an emotion. My first thought was, I think people know my story. They don't want to hear my story. which actually is interesting because throughout this process, I feel like I sort of go back to that initial thought. And I'm not sure that I'm alone in that. I think sometimes we all feel like that, like who wants to hear my story, or it's not important, or there's nothing special about it, or we don't want to burden people with it. And what's interesting is that I had that thought, yet one of the things that I deeply believe is very contradictory to that. I actually believe that it's a gift for people to share their stories. And when people share their stories with me, I always feel so privileged to be the hearer of their story, that they would take the time to share parts of their life with me. And so it's interesting that you asked that, because my initial reaction was, well, nobody wants to hear my story. Even since sharing, even people that I've known well said, I didn't know that about you, or it has opened up conversations to hear others' stories as well. So that was my first thought.
I love that. And it was so interesting because in your sermon, you told a lot of personal kind of anecdotes, vignettes over your life. And it was fun because I've heard a number of those. Mm-hmm. I heard it, over here, and you told me that one time, but not as a narrative story kind of arc, right, of how you got to this place. It was really fun to see these pivotal moments in your spiritual journey, how God has been at work in some surprising ways that I think, mm-hmm, if maybe they see Carrie Weatherford from the outside, oh, she's perfect, everything's always been gone perfectly for her, and she doesn't struggle with anything. And then, to hear you say, well, actually, that's not always been the case. There's been some really rough times. That was really fun to, so thank you so much. Okay, so a couple questions. Number one, how did you choose your scripture passage? You obviously changed it. A lot of people don't know this. You changed it to the salt and light passage in the Sermon on the Mount. How did you arrive at it? And what other scripture passages did you consider?
So I started with a Hebrews passage, and I was really going to focus on the faith journey, which I did, but what does that look like? And the ups and downs along the way, which I did still cover, and just the assurance that God gives us on the way. And I had kind of thought through how I was going to do that in my mind, but actually, on the family mission trip, which is a trip that our church takes over spring break, we invite families to come serve alongside one another, and we go down to St. Simon's, Brunswick area, and we have a time where we not only serve together, but we have our worship times and devotion times And so our theme this year was actually salt and light. And so I did not pick that just because it was, oh, we've been talking about it. Interestingly enough, I had shared a very small snippet of what I shared on Sunday in the sermon. I shared a very small snippet of that on Thursday night, our very last night on the family mission trip. And I've always loved the salt and light passage. Just there's so much there to unpack about the nature of God through Jesus's teachings, what he's teaching us, how that's relevant now. And John Perry was on the mission trip as well. John, the whole Perry family was there. And John and I actually had a conversation afterwards, and he said something about something I said. And he said, you really should use that for your sermon. And I said, yeah, I actually been thinking about it. And it started without realizing going kind of down a path of oh, this is somewhere I'd really like to go and think through a little bit more. And so we had that initial conversation. And then I thought, I don't want to mess anybody up. I put my scripture in a long time ago. I was feeling a little prideful maybe because I'd been the first person to turn my scripture in. and then I'm going to be the person, the last person that changes it up the last minute. But after that conversation, it stuck with me and I could not stop thinking about it all over the weekend and was reading that scripture. And so Monday morning, we got to our staff meeting and people maybe don't know how the sausage is made, but we've got our staff meeting and then we have a worship meeting and we talk through the whole plan. So we're in the worship meeting. My scripture's in there. And it's still been on my heart, but I have not changed it. And I happened to be sitting next to John Perry. And he said, you can change it. It's really, if that's what's, do it. I'll change it right here. So with his encouragement, maybe nudging of the Holy Spirit, I said, yep, you know what? We'll change it. And so we changed it. And that's where I went with it. And I really do believe when we talk about the Holy Spirit at work, this is that. Mm-hmm. This is the stirring in my spirit that I was eventually, and see, this is an example of maybe pride getting in the way of where God's trying to work of, oh, I don't want to change it, or I don't want to mess other people up. And it didn't mess other people up. But I do believe that that's where the Spirit was leading, and to be faithful to where the Spirit was leading is what I needed to do. And with the help of John Perry.
Yeah. Thanks, John Perry. So as you were thinking about your own life, mm-hmm. in terms of salt and light. And so for folks that weren't there or maybe only heard the audio, let me say you had a candle. It was mm-hmm. not a lit candle, although it was lit up.
Yes.
There was not a live fire on the pulpit.
Yeah.
And you put a piece of paper with words mm-hmm. in front of the candle as a physical representation of things that obstruct us and dim our light, if you will, and God's light in us. Mm-hmm. How did you, those four kind of obstructions or obstacles, because you probably could have picked a ton more, but how'd you land on those four?
Yeah, I wish I had a better answer than this, is that they really just came to me. Again, I feel like the Spirit was leading in the sense that it, as I thought through my life, I thought about those particular areas that came up. And I really, as I thought about them, I thought, what's attached to that? But perhaps it came to me so easily, and I this is actually a better or more of a honest answer, is because this isn't new. Uh-huh. This isn't new to me to struggle. I mean, that's obviously I shared my story, but I know that I've struggled with comparison. I know that I've struggled with fear. I know that I've struggled with doubt. I know that I've struggled with shame. And so, you know, it's putting the words with the story and kind of showing those kind of snippets throughout life. But, you know, those are big things. And so, you know, those are struggles that I've had. And it was just more about being honest about it and saying, this is, and I will tell you, it was a little bit of a longer sermon. I did cut out things. So those, there were more things that I've struggled with, turns out. So when I was looking, as I had kind of written things out, I thought, you know, I'm going to stick with these four because I feel like these are the biggest. But certainly there were other struggles as well that, you know, the list could go on. I mean, I think if I'd added a fifth struggle in, it would have been complacency. Which is a little bit different, but those times in life where you just sort of are feeling, for whatever reason, not even like you're coasting, but you are just not in a place where you are feeling very faithful, or maybe you're comfortable, or you're in a rut, and that rut just, you're not actively pursuing where God is calling you, and you can get into those places and feel really stuck. And I've certainly had those, and places where I felt like, you know, I maybe haven't done anything wrong, or I'm not doing anything. And that is a place that, you know, as you struggle to shine your light, if you're not actively pursuing where God's leading. So I would have added that in, I think, if I'd added a fifth.
Cool. Do you think, well, in the feedback you've received after preaching, has there been any commonalities in terms of like people saying they struggle with shame, and like they identify with shame or comparison, or one of the four that especially resonated maybe more than the others, or have they been kind of all over?
So I think comparison is one that I have heard from all across the demographics. And that has, I mean, there have been people that have identified with lots of things, and but comparison is one that has seemed to be something that's come up in almost every conversation I've had.
Interesting. Did it come up in a conversation with your sister?
You know, it did come up in a conversation with my sister. And, you know, if you weren't there, I shared that I had struggled with comparison from a young age. I really gifted brother and sister growing up, and compared myself to them a lot, and felt like I am not like them. I do not measure up as far as, you know, kids in this family go. And it was so funny. My sister, that was the first thing she said to me, because she was actually at one of the worship services. She came and she said, "No, I always thought you were the one that was friends with everybody, and you know, had all of," anyway, she went on, she said, "I struggled with it with you." And I think that this just speaks so much to our culture too. We live in a culture that elevates, I mean, it is promoting comparison, and that is not what we as Christians are doing. We are created, and I said this on Sunday, individually and uniquely on purpose. There is a reason that none of us have the same fingerprint, you know, and God wants us each to make our own mark on the world to glorify God. Right. But yet we have this world and culture that is constantly looking or telling us to, you need to be this, or compare yourself to this, or you want to get to this place, and you know, looking at others, and that can lead to really unhealthy comparison, lead to you not living out who you are meant to be. You know, if you're just watching what others are doing and not living your own life.
Yep, I totally agree. And it was funny. So you brought your sister, and so it made me think. I saw her and your brother-in-law coming into worship right before the service. Yeah. And so I was like, "You got to go sit down front, you know, as a cheering section, and cheer her on." And then I didn't know if you'd bring her up or not. So I thought it was really beautiful. And I figured she would probably had struggled with comparison to her sister in similar ways. And it is funny how we see life from our vantage point, and sometimes we are just blind to other people's, you know, struggles and you know, our own blind spots. It was very, I'm not surprised.
No. And you know, what's interesting is yesterday I had a conversation with a woman who is in her 80s, and she was sharing a little bit of her story. And she said, oh my gosh, comparison. She said, absolutely. She said, imagine having a twin. And she grew up as a twin, and that, you know, we talked through how that really resonated with her. And even, you know, so you're talking about, and I talked to people that were in there that are teenagers and, you know, yep, in their 80s. And this is something I think that resonates with so many of us.
Well, that's good. So Scott has gone, you've gone, Dan is this coming Sunday, yep. Ryan, what do you want to hear from them?
You know, I don't.
Or maybe we say it this way. What should the congregation want to hear from them?
Here is what I really think. And this is what I really appreciate. I've shared this with you, but I want to say this here too. I love this sermon series even more now that we're in it than when you brought it up. And I just think it was a brilliant idea. Not so that everybody could get to know us, because it opens up opportunities for us to share our stories with each other. That's part of the purpose of this sermon series, is not to shine a spotlight on the pastors or anything like that, but it is to help us all think about our own faith journeys and then to share those stories with each other. And so I think, you know, the thing that I want to hear is whatever their story is on their heart, you know, that they want to share is just authentic stories. And I think when we do that, no matter what the story is, it opens up avenues for conversations for other people to share their stories. And so that's my hope. And my hope is that, you know, as they continue to share, that we all are able to think about our faith journeys and, you know, after hearing others. And it's just opened up so many great conversations. And I hope that this continues even beyond the sermon series as, you know, as a faith family, but bigger than that, people that are followers of Jesus, people in this world. And I think, you know, this is something I said on Sunday too, but we weren't created to be people to be alone. In fact, you referenced that on Monday. What is the first negative thing that is said in scripture? What's the bad thing? And that is for humans to be alone.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we aren't created to be alone. That's not a good thing. We're created to be known and to know others and to do this journey together. And so that's what I'm hoping that this just spurs us forward into, hearing Dan's story and Ryan's story and your story, is to continue to spur us on to do this journey together, to keep sharing, to keep being real with one another.
Yeah. I, one of the things we've been doing, and two of my Bible studies, I've had the guys, we just kind of rotate, and every week, it's there on Tuesdays. So every week we've kind of rotated and had one of the guys share their story. And it's been really fun to hear our congregation. And one of these studies, the guys are quite a bit older than me, and they just have a lot of life that they've lived and experiences. And it's really fun to listen to them say, you know, I thought I was down and out here, but God was present and saw me through the valley. Yeah. Shadow of death, as it were, you know, and when we're vulnerable and we're willing to, one of these studies, now I can't get anybody, we've gone through all the guys, or through like half the guys, and the other half don't want to share. So I'm kind of twist some arms to get them to share, because it's so important that we know each other's stories, you know, to help each other on the journey of life and faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, again, just, I appreciate you coming up with this sermon series and encouraging us to do that.
Well, thank you for stepping up the plate, because Sunday went better than I could have imagined. It was exactly what I was hoping would be. And I do hope it will open up conversations for us as pastors with the congregation, the community, that we're real people. We want to hear your story. We want to be in the trenches with you. We're praying for you, encouraging you. So that's very important.
Absolutely.
So, go ahead.
No.
Okay. So as we kind of wrap up here, what have you been watching, listening to? What's something we need to have our.
So I've been watching an old Netflix show. I came across it called, Royal Pains.
Huh.
It's more of a, just like a fun watch. But I will tell you this, this is not something I'm watching. This is something that I read this morning. I was meeting with a friend and kind of, we were talking about the sermon series, and I do want to share this because it's, and people may know this, but I had not heard this poem, and it's called Our Deepest Fear by Marianne Williamson. Have you heard this?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I was just so struck with how, spot on this was with everything that we discussed Sunday. So I will read it for us here. So it's called Our Deepest Fear by Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not in just some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So I thought that was really powerful. And so my friend, Maggie, actually, I'll give a shout out. My friend Maggie DeCann shared that with me this morning. She's the executive director of one of our mission partners. And so I was super grateful that she shared that with me this morning.
What a gift. And thank you for sharing it with us, Carrie. And honestly, thank you for closing the distance once again and talking about your sermon. It was so wonderful. I had been out for a couple of weeks, so it was so great to be back up there with you and hear it for myself. And so thank you for your minutes. And I look forward to catching up soon. All right. Thanks for closing
this. Sounds good. This was great. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye.